If you would, turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18, and I want to read verses 9 through 14. Very familiar passage, I'm sure. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. We see here, as Jesus Christ starts out this parable, that he spake to certain. And this certain is pertaining to people. So it is a certain people. These certain people had something common that they were doing, and although it may not have manifested itself outwardly all the time, it was at least being done inwardly, even if no one else knew about it. Here in the parable, it was done both outwardly and inwardly. But Christ knew of it, and he was speaking to them. What was it they were doing? They were trusting in themselves. They were convinced in themselves, that is, they were convinced in themselves that they were what? Righteous. They trusted in themselves that because of themselves, and the direct context is they trusted in the things which they did or were or are doing, that is what made them righteous. Now, in each one of us is this nature to trust in ourselves. So this is certainly speaking to all of us. Scripture is clear, and we've heard it here several times. There is none righteous, not one. But this is not all they did. Their trust in themselves resulted in them despising others, whom they thought were not living up to their standards of doing.
Exactly.
Now, this still includes us, because in us there is that nature that loves ourselves and our doing.
Yeah.
It is still there today, but at one time it ruled us. Just as it did this Pharisee. This is nothing new this morning. In fact, I may sound as if I am repeating myself. And the fact is, I am repeating myself. I want to continue to repeat the glories of Jesus Christ and His righteousness.
Yes.
Because it's the only righteousness that will bring me close to God. These two men were going to the same place. They were both going to the temple, and they were both going to do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
The one, the Pharisee, went to pray with himself.
Yeah.
He prayed to God, but it was the God of his own doing.
Yeah.
It was the God of his imagination.
Yeah.
The God that told him that he was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
He made an accusation in his prayer to his God. He was not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or as the publican that had went up to the temple with him. It does not say that he cried this out or that he pointed to the man. It just said he prayed thus with himself. He was secretly saying within himself that he was not as bad as other men, but in fact he was better than them is what he was saying. He thought within himself all the things he had done. I fast twice in a week and give tithes of all that I possess? I in my flesh have thoughts like this concerning this passage. That doesn't sound like much to me. But it isn't about what we are doing or what we are not doing necessarily. He was bragging to himself that he does without, twice a week anyway, and that he gives a portion of all that he had. The problem is he thought this made him righteous before God. Now this is a parable, but Christ knew those who were around him who had such thoughts. How many times have I thought when looking at myself and looking at others, and I have said in my thoughts, I wouldn't have done that. But the fact is, I have done that.
Exactly.
We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God in His gracious mercy to us causes us in time to do and feel such as this publican did. He stood afar off. He dare not approach God on his own behalf. He did not even as much look up to heaven, it says. He was not looking at anyone else, and he dare not attempt to look into God's face. To whom God brings to this place to know that if they are to look at God, they will surely be consumed. And turn over with me to Exodus 33, if you would. If you're following along. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, 17 through 21. Very familiar. Joe preached a message on this not too long ago. At least it was on TV not too long ago. Exodus 33, 17 through 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock.
Amen.
God says, you come to Him face to face, you will die.
Yes, sir.
As Job preached before there in Exodus, there is a place by God, though. If you have found grace in the sight of God, you will only see Him at a place by Him, and that place is a rock. A rock where your face can be hidden. And by having your face covered, you will see God there.
Yes.
This publican would not, as Christ tells us in this parable, he would not even as much as look up unto heaven. He knew what he was by the grace of God that he found in God's sight. He knew that those such as this Pharisee who said he was no good was telling the truth.
Right. Yeah.
No one needs to lie on me. Just tell the truth and there's enough there to condemn me before God.
Yes,
there's no good in me that will recommend me to God. I can only approach Him in another, a rock. But I will not come proudly. I will come with my face to the ground, beating my chest. I often have thought back on my works, even today, sadly, and it causes me to beat on my chest. I'll say, how in the world could I have done that? I don't have to worry about everyone else, because there's no one as bad as I am. If I'm the only one God came to save, He would still had to do all that He came to do.
Yes, sir.
I am and others are in need of a Savior.
Yes.
I need someone to propitiate me.
Yeah.
I cannot do it for myself. I will be consumed unless I find that rock. I need someone to reconcile me to God. I need someone to show me mercy.
Yeah.
I need someone to atone for my sin. The God this man prayed to is the one and the only one who could do it. All of that is in what this man said. Be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what we need, is this kind of mercy from God. Because we are as bad as anyone else. I don't know if you all remember I don't know if it was a joke or someone actually told this to Henry, but Henry said a woman came up to him and said, "Henry, can you talk to my son? He's hanging around with the wrong crowd." And Henry told the woman, "I'm sorry, man, but your son is the wrong crowd." I wanted to go over this passage to show the kind of people that Jesus Christ says are the ones who will go down to their home justified, their house justified. The ones who will go down to their house justified are sinners. Sinners made so by God, and sinners made to turn to Him for their help, knowing it's only the only place that help will come. Jesus Christ the righteous is who would propitiate this man. And anyone who is a sinner made so by God. And we went through it last week. Everyone who has sinned against God, and how many is that? There is none righteous, not one. All men have sinned against God. Some by grace are made to see that they are. Everyone who has sinned against God must die. So what do we need? We need someone who is just in his judgment and mercy and truth come before his face. We need someone to die in our stead. I know I mentioned before that Jesus Christ did not keep the law for his people, and I still mean that, but I don't want you to misunderstand me. We surely do benefit from him keeping the law. Had he not kept the law of God, then we would have all perished. Not just because he didn't keep the law, but because he would not have been God. The same holds true for his dying. Had he not died, and had he not rose again, we would have perished. But more importantly, he would have not been God if these things did not take place. He kept the law because he could do nothing else. There's no way he could have not kept the law every jot and tittle. But we read that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God without the law. There is a righteousness that we need. The righteousness that we are given that far exceeds keeping the law. Romans 3, turn to Romans 3 with me. Very familiar again, but I'm going to read it again. Romans 3, verses 19 through 22. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jesus Christ was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He always did those things that pleased the Father. We certainly needed one that would and could keep His holy law. But we needed more than that. Breaking the law is not something we might do. It is something we have already done. We need something more than to keep the law. We've already heard it from the parable. We need propitiation. We just read it. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are not justified by the deeds of the law. We are justified by Jesus Christ. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are, if we are in him, we are dead to the law. Because when Christ died, we died with him. And when this took place, we became dead to the law. And it was for this very purpose, that we might be married to him.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the righteousness I need. Because Jesus Christ far exceeds keeping the law. Back in Romans 3, we read verses 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified not by keeping his law. We are justified by his grace. And it says there that this grace would come through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That redemption came when he paid the sin debt his people owed. Turn with me to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. And I guess I'm going to have to find it because I didn't want it. Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, Job, into your hearts, crying, Abba. Is redemption him keeping the law for me? It certainly did not come without the law being kept. But redemption came when he paid the debt. That is, he died for us. His death is what freed us from the law. We are dead to the law. And you know what that means? We are dead to the law. It's as simple as that. We are not freed from the law to keep the law. We are dead to the law. We no longer exist to the law so that it might condemn us because of what Christ did for us in dying on that tree. But it's not just dying. The fact that Jesus Christ kept the law, and it's no surprise that he did because Jesus Christ is God. The fact that Jesus Christ kept the law meant he was the spotless Lamb of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, in that sense, he did keep the law for me. But I see it more as he kept it for himself and his faithfulness to the Father.
Yes, sir.
I have no power apart from God Almighty and Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I have here recently seen the power that I have that's been manifested to some, and it may be manifest to me one day. I mean, it may be manifest to me to where I can't walk on my own. It may be manifest to me I can't even remember my name.
Yeah.
I have no power apart from God.
Exactly.
There's a lot more that can be said about justification. And I'm not exhausting the subject today. I do nothing to justify myself before God. Christ has done all to justify me before him. Romans 4, 24 and 25 we read, But for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It says right there, Christ was delivered for our offenses. It would only take one offense, but this says for our offenses. So we have many offenses. But it also says he was raised again for our justification. Had he died only, then we would have no life, and we would see no life. He had to be raised again, and he was. The resurrection raised us to life with him. In him raising to life, we were acquitted of all charges. Not just acquitted, though. In Christ, we are made the very righteousness of God.
Yes.
What am I trying to point out and drive home is this. We are guilty of breaking God's law. And that guiltiness requires that we die. Christ dying in our stead means the penalty, the punishment due us, was paid to him. So what is the right thing for us to do? Keep God's law? We can't. I don't want to go back there, because going back there means I have to keep the law every jot and tittle, and I know I can't. Did Christ come and die for us, that we might be then begin to keep his law? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The scripture does not say that before Jesus Christ saves us, the works of the law will not justify us in his sight. And then after he saves us, keeping his law justifies us. Doesn't say that. Scripture simply declares that by the deeds of the law that no flesh shall be justified in his sight. The right thing for me to do is to believe God.
Yes.
Believe what he has done. God has already justified us in Jesus Christ the righteous. But when we believe him, God imputes his righteousness to us because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Back to our text, we read Christ saying this in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This Pharisee was talking about what he did. Christ says he was not justified in thinking he was justified by what he did. But here in this last verse, Christ said by what this other man did, he was justified. The difference is this. The doing this other man did, this publican, this sinner, was caused by Jesus Christ. God brought and he brings those who are his down to this place, where they know if they do not have someone to propitiate for them, that is, stand in their place, they will forever perish. It is the hope of God's people that they have been right in the sight of God by his dear Son. I read this passage as my text because I wanted to show the need for redemption. Those whom Jesus Christ died for at no time begin to think that they do anything worthy of the righteousness of God. They come to him begging, pleading for mercy, propitiation. The word there that Christ in this parable used where this sinner says, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." The word there for merciful is derived from a word that means cheerful, propitious, or gracious. Then the word itself means to conciliate, atone for, propitious, merciful, or make reconciliation for. So this sinner and all those for whom God Almighty has justified all come to him with their face to the ground, not looking at anyone else and how they measure up to me, but knowing that I do not measure up to the righteousness of God in and of myself. This sinner cries out, "God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I beg you, be cheerful toward me and gracious. Conciliate me. Stop being angry with me. Atone for my sin against you. Be merciful, dear God, and reconcile me to yourself. I need it, God, because I am the sinner." Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for your Son, dear Lord. Cause us to always look to you and to see you, dear Lord. You are our hope. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.